Hey, good morning, church family. Go ahead and take a seat. It's so good to see you. I hope you had an amazing Christmas. And can you believe it? We've made it through 2020. Last Sunday at 2020. Give yourself a round of applause. We've made it. You all look beautiful. Can we welcome all those who are tuning in online right now? You guys made it too. Thank the Lord. And looking forward to starting this new year. But this is our last Sunday of the year. And I want to just end. I'm going to pray a prayer for us that we're going to see in Romans chapter 5. And it's a prayer for God to just make his love known to us in a very personal and a very real way. So I'm going to pray that out loud, but if you're open to it, I want you to pray that for yourself in your heart as I pray. And would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we just pray that, Lord, we could experience what we're going to talk about today, that we could experience your love. It could be poured out into our hearts through your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, as we end this year, Lord, we could end it with that deep, real experience that we are loved by the Almighty God. And I pray, Lord, that that internal awareness would reshape everything we've been through. And it would reshape how we see everything that is ahead of us. God, this is a work only your Spirit can do in us. So, Lord, we just ask, we invite you to be at work now to meet each of us, Lord. Wherever we're watching from, in the room, at home, in the car, at work, God, meet us where we're at. We ask for this blessing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, today we're going to finish our sermon series called Triggered. We started it last week, and today we're going to wrap it up. We began by looking at Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to finish these couple verses today. But before we get into the text, have you noticed that sometimes in life, unusual paths can take you to beautiful places? Like sometimes, you know, maybe how you got in the job that you're in, that you really like it, but it was an unusual path to get there. You know, you wouldn't have scripted it that way. Or maybe how you met your spouse, your loved one. It was kind of an unusual path, but now it's in a beautiful place. And many times that happens in life, right? Unpredictable paths can take us to really beautiful places. And some years ago, myself and some of my good buddies, we went on this little hiking adventure into the Adirondacks, and we went hiking on Mount Marcy, which is, the biggest mountain in the Adirondacks, and a really fun hike. And as we were beginning the path, one of the people in the parking lot was like, hey, when you go on this path about halfway, you're going to see this little path, and don't just pass by it. Because this little path, it takes you to Indian Falls, and it's this beautiful scene. And it's really easy to miss. So make sure you're paying attention and go down that path, and you'll see this beautiful view. And so me and my buddies, we decided to listen to this advice, and we went, and that's what we saw. Isn't that a beautiful view? And that's me on my right over there facing that way. That's my buddy Nate in the middle, my buddy Eric, and our other buddy Nori took that picture. And it was this really cool, unexpected thing. And we just kind of sat there and hung out, and it was really fun. But it was a path that was easy to miss because it just didn't look like anything. It looked like kind of just a waste of time to go down. But because someone had told us and we knew, we went on that unusual path, and it opened up to this great beauty. And today we're going to see that the Apostle Paul is going to tell us that sometimes God takes our lives on unusual paths. He takes us in places where you're like, where are we going right now? And maybe times where we're worried about where we're going. But what the Apostle Paul is going to show us is that if we stay on that path with God, it can open up to something beautiful. And so let's look at this text together today, Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to actually read the two verses I read last week, and then we're going to talk about verse 3 through 5. But here's how it goes. Therefore, Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And all last week, we talked about that. So I know that you get that perfectly. You've been living it out. The text is written on the very core of your heart. That didn't sound too convincing. So, verse 3. So here's where we're going today. Not only that, maybe our online family, I know it's written into your soul. You could just let me know. But verse 3, not only that, so we don't only rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but look at this verse. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Isn't that an odd thing to say? We rejoice. I don't rejoice in my sufferings. I whine and moan and complain in my sufferings. And I say, poor me. But he says, no, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, these verses are so incredibly powerful. And if I could summarize for us today what Paul is saying, is he's saying God uses unusual paths to take us to beautiful places. And the unusual path in this text is the path of pain, the path of suffering. It's a path that you don't think is going to end up in a good place. But what the Apostle Paul is showing us is he's saying, if you walk this path with God, here's where it ends. It ends in a deep experience of God's love. The pressure, the difficulty, the pain of life through Christ, it can end in a beautiful place, in this deep experience of God's love for each of us. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And there's three aspects of this that I think will be helpful to understand. I want to talk about the perspective shift that this creates. Then I want to talk about the process that we see in this text. Because did you notice there's a process there, right? That this pain, it produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And then it's a hope that doesn't disappoint us. So you see there's a process there. And then lastly, I want to talk about the product, the ultimate end of this process. And it's that hope that doesn't disappoint. So perspective, process, and product. And let's talk about the perspective at first. Now, there's something I need to explain here. When Paul says we rejoice in our sufferings, he's not asking us to rejoice for our suffering, but to rejoice in them. And there's an important difference there. To rejoice for your sufferings would be kind of messed up, right? You don't, bad things and tough things, they don't happen in our lives, and you're like, oh gosh, I'm so glad this terrible thing happened. That's not what Paul is asking us to do. He's not saying, oh man, life's been really hard and really horrible. You should be so happy about that. That would be ridiculous, right? He's not a masochist. You know what a masochist is? They just enjoy pain. That's not what Paul is saying here at all. But he's saying that in our sufferings, there still can be a joy in God that we can access. There can be an experience with God that can overshadow the pain and the frustration and the disappointment. And that's what Paul is calling us to today. He's not saying, oh, we should be happy about all the bad stuff that happened in 2020 or the weight of pain that we carry today. But he's saying, but as you carry that very heavy stuff, I want you to realize there's something else that you can tap into. And it is a joy and a strength that comes from God. And that's what he's talking about today. Now, what's interesting to note about this is what we see is this is one of the ways that God uses pain and suffering and hardship in our lives. See, we've all, at different times, we've asked the question, why does God allow suffering? Have you ever thought that, asked that? Why did God allow this? Why did God allow that? that's not a bad question to always ask. Because what Paul is saying is he's saying, hey, here's one of the reasons. It's not the only reason, but it's one of them. He's saying that through difficulty and pain and hardship, God is accomplishing his purpose in us. That's part of it. That all pain and suffering, when we walk through it with Christ, it ends up having a redemptive purpose in our life. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that when you go through the pain of life and you go through it with Christ, then that pain, it won't destroy you. It ends up refining you. It's like when gold is put into the fire, the gold doesn't turn to ash and get destroyed. But here's what happens. The impurities in the gold dissolve and it becomes more pure. And the Apostle Paul is saying, God uses our pain, not in spite of his purpose, but sometimes to accomplish his purpose. And it's a perspective shift. And here's the other thing I would say about it, is that sometimes in life, our inability to comprehend the purpose of life's difficulty doesn't mean they are purposeless. Now, let me explain this a little bit more. There will be times where we go through hard things and we can't connect the dots. I mean, it's beautiful when you can connect the dots, right? There is a painful relationship in my past, and I now can connect the dots. I see it was how God got me to my wife. At the time, it was very painful, but now I can look back and the dots, they make sense. And I look back at it and I say, thank you, God. Even though it was painful, thank you. But then there's sometimes other things where you can't connect the dots yet. And maybe you won't ever be able to connect the dots. But it doesn't mean that God still doesn't have a good and meaningful purpose in it. Just because I can't comprehend it doesn't mean there isn't one. And this is important to know, because what it means is that God is eternal and majestic. And that just that he acts in ways that sometimes I don't understand is not an indictment against God. It just means I'm human and finite, and he's infinite and majestic. And that's what it means to be God. One of the most powerful things that has helped me think through this is Elizabeth Elliot. She wrote a novel called No Graven Image. And in the novel, it tells a story of this young woman who has committed her life fully to God. And she's gone down to South America to reach a tribe. She went down as a missionary. She raised all the support. She figured it out. She put her plans aside, and she took this great risk, and she went down to South America to reach this tribe that no one has reached to help them to know God. And she realized that the core of her work is to get a Bible translated into their language. And she meets this man named Pedro, and Pedro is the key. Because he can translate it. He knows the native language, but he also knows, you know, Spanish and all these other languages, and he can do it. And just as they're about to get this work done, Pedro dies. He gets an infection, and he dies. And as he dies, she realizes her work is done. There's no one else like him. And she looks back on everything that has happened, and she's kind of confused. And here's the crazy part of this book. The story ends that way. There's no silver lining. And I don't know about you, but I love a good Hollywood ending, right? I want the guy and girl to fall in love. I want the bad dude to get a butt whooping. You know, I want it all. I want the Hollywood ending. I want it to all play out that way. But the way the book ends, it doesn't happen. She leaves, but what Elizabeth Elliot, she was making this powerful point. And what she was saying, and Elizabeth Elliot lived stories like this and lived this in her own life. But what she was trying to say is that sometimes when you don't understand why God is doing what he's doing, but you trust him anyway, you treat him as God and you honor him in a great way. See, it's easy for me to trust God when I can connect the dots. Right? When I can see and I say, okay, God, I get what you're doing here. I see you. I get it. That's slick. I love what you're doing. But church, when we can't connect the dots, he's still trustworthy. Because his ability to connect the dots is not related to my ability to see him connecting the dots. And what Elizabeth Elliot is saying is she's saying, when you trust him, when you can't connect the dots, you glorify him in a special way. Because you're treating him as God. You're not trying to shrink him down to the smallness of our own minds. Right? If I could understand everything that God did, do you know how small God would have to become? For him to fit in this Neanderthal skull, he would have to lose his greatness. He would have to lose his majesty. But when I can worship and trust him in the midst of the confusion and the disappointment, I am relating to him as God. And I am glorifying him. And so Paul gives us a different perspective here. Now let me talk about the process for a moment. Now Paul says that when we begin to walk with God in this and through Christ, these tough times, they set off a chain reaction in our souls. And he says, your internal world begins to change. God uses it to make you into something different in the core of your being. And the first thing that he says is that it creates endurance and then character and then hope. That's the chain reaction. But what's interesting is he's showing how the pain of life can bring these deep internal benefits. And what I find fascinating is today, many modern psychologists would 100% agree with that. One very prolific writer, Jonathan Haidt, who's a well-known psychologist, he says it this way. He says, people need adversity, setbacks, and perhaps even trauma to reach the highest levels of strength, fulfillment, and personal development. So he's affirming what Paul said 2,000 years earlier. I love how in our modern world, people are like, hey, I got a new novel idea. Suffering can make you a better human being and can develop your soul in really important ways. We're like, hey, yeah, Paul said that like a long time ago, bro. Could have saved you a lot of research hours here. Just kind of read it, do what it says, you'll be good to go. But he's saying it creates this chain. Now, the first one that it creates is endurance. And endurance, it's our capacity to push beyond the natural limits and to keep moving forward towards that which is truly important and meaningful. That's endurance. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I have been somewhat committed to running. I'm obviously not built like a runner. I'm built more like an old fat runner, you know? And so running's never kind of been my forte, but at times I've been more disciplined. But this last year, I just haven't gotten into it. You know, anybody struggle with workout motivation this year? It's just, man, it's a real thing. There's Zoom fatigue, workout fatigue. Does that even make sense? I'm going to run with it. And so I really haven't run much. But a couple of times this year, I've got out and I just said, hey, you got to get your lazy behind moving. And I went and I would run like 3 miles. But after those 3 miles, I would come back almost dead. Because I just haven't been doing it. My endurance has, the little endurance I had is gone. You know, and so 3 miles, it felt like 15. And I was like, gosh, this is so depressing. How pitiful your endurance has become. But that's what happens, right? Muscles atrophy, you get out of shape, that sort of thing. And what the Apostle Paul is showing us is he's saying, at the end of the day, God is looking to build our capacity. See, we want God to make life comfortable and easy. But that's not his purpose for you. Doesn't mean that God won't bless us. Doesn't mean that God won't help us. But ultimately, God is more interested in building the capacity of your soul and my soul. And that's this endurance thing. At the end of the day, God is preparing you, not just for this earth, but for eternity with Him. And it takes a bigger soul with a bigger gas tank, with more capacity. And Paul says, at the end of the day, God uses the struggle of all this to raise your capacity to follow Him, even when you reach your limitations. And it's a blessing. Here's the next one, is tested character. And this is the idea of, you know, if you think about like a boat that's just been built, it has to be tested so that you know it's not going to take on any water. It has to go out and experience the roughness of the seas and make sure it's not just going to collapse, make sure everything was right. And then after that, it can be used in service. And this is that idea that this tested character is that I've walked with God through difficulty and I know I can be okay with Him at the end of the day. It's a confidence builder. See, when I walk with God through this, I go through the challenges of life and I go through hard times and I come out a better soul in trusting God. And so what that does is it gives me that quality of tested character where I know whatever is ahead, I'm going to be all right because I've done this with God already. You with me on this? And I wonder how many of us this year actually have gotten some tested character. That we've been through some difficulty, we've been through some pain, we've been through some struggle, but you didn't give up on God. You walked with Him. You fought the good fight. Wasn't easy, but to get tested character, it can't be easy. You have to endure a little bit of the heat to make sure that you know it's going to last, and you went through it. And now you stand at the end of this year more prepared for whatever God might have ahead. That's this quality. And I wonder for how many of us God has given us some of that in 2020. You look back and you see all the struggle, but I also want you to see maybe how God has grown your soul. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters so much. And God has used this year for that. And then here's the last part, the product. The end result of all this is hope. Paul says, tested character, it produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Now, this is so powerful because I want you to see that hope, the kind that Paul is talking about, it is a product of God's Spirit at work in our lives, not external things. So hear this with me for a moment. When every week I love to look at the weather app, and just see, like, what's the next 5 days? What's the next six days? And I look at the weather app, and when I see that bright yellow thing on there, I get excited because I love the sun, right? And we just need more and more of that in Northeast Ohio, amen? I mean, we need it this time of year, so I'm always excited. But then since we live in Ohio, I look at it again 20 minutes later, and sometimes it changes to 35 inches of snow. I'm like, oh, my hope is gone. Wednesday looked like it was going to be sunny. Now it's going to be a snowstorm. And I think many times that's how we try to find hope in life. We look out ahead and we say, what's the weather look like? What's it look like? What's going on with this person? What's their reaction look like? And we try to get hope from that. Where's the economy going? What's happening in the world? And we kind of gauge our level of hope based on that. Or just what's it feel like right now? But what we're doing is we're forecasting. And we're forecasting based on whatever external data points we can gather. But the problem with hope coming that way is if it's built on things that are external, then it can be taken away. Because external things can change. External realities have an ebb and flow to them. External realities can turn on a dime. But here's what the Apostle Paul is. Please hear this today. He's saying hope is a function of God's Spirit at work in you. It's not external, it's internal. It's not based on what's happening around me. It's based on what God is doing in me. And if hope is an internal reality, then external realities can't change it. They can't take it away. They can't rob me of it. Because it's not coming from out there. It's coming from in here. And that's what real hope is. That's what real biblical hope is. That's what Paul is saying. That he said that's a hope that won't disappoint us because no one can take it from you. Whatever happens in the world, it can't change that internal work of God's Spirit. And it's based on God and not you or me or someone else or the ups and downs of life. It's a real hope. Now notice this. What is it based in? He said, it's the Holy Spirit, which is the part of God that lives within us. The third person of the Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit making the love of God known to our hearts. Pouring it out. That's where hope comes from. Hope comes from this deep personal experience where I know God loves me. And I matter to him. Because when you know God loves you in a real way, it changes how you go through everything. It prepares you. It shapes you. It gives you the strength that you need. When you know it, and you know it in the way that Paul's talking about here, where it's the Spirit of God pouring his love into you, then whatever you're facing becomes overwhelmed by that deep reality of love. And you become transformed. And even if your situation doesn't change, it does change because you have changed. And you have this powerful thing called hope. When you know, when the Spirit of God helps each of us to know how much you matter to God, it changes all of our pain, all of our suffering. We begin to filter it through God's love, not see it as evidence that God doesn't love us, but we begin to look for his love in everything. In the pain, we move towards it. In the struggle, we move towards it. In the disappointment, we still are able to find it because the Holy Spirit is overwhelming our hearts with it. And it's a game changer, church. Hope isn't out there. Hope is in here. That's where it comes from. That's what real hope is. And church, can I say, that's what you and I need. Hey, we don't know what's going to happen in 2021. We don't know, you know, how much longer COVID and all that goes with it. We don't know what struggles might be ahead. But here's what I know. If you have this hope that Paul's talking about, you're going to be good. You're going to be more than good. God is going to be changing you. He's going to be using you. And you are going to be content in his love. You're going to find a deeper satisfaction in his presence than all the blessings that this world can give you. But you know what? If I have to choose, I'll take God. He's a lot better. And your soul will be enriched. My daughter, Emery, she's coming up on 2 years old, and one of her new things now is to give hugs, and it's super cute. We say, Emery, can you give mom or dad a hug? And she kind of like waddles, and she smiles really big, and she giggles. And then most of the time, she doesn't actually hug either of us. She hugs herself. And then we hug her. But, you know, it's real cute. I'm like, man, you'll get the hang of how this works. But, you know, close enough. And it's this just beautiful and fun thing, and we just love doing it because it's an outpouring of love, you know? But it's natural for us to do that because she's our daughter, we're her parents, and that outpouring of love just comes so easily and so naturally. But the Apostle Paul says a little bit later in chapter 5 of Romans, he says, I want you to know something. God proved his love to you through this great outpouring, that he loved you while you were his enemy. While we were enemies, Romans 5 says, Christ loved us. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, he's saying, hey, if you doubt for a second that God loves you, I want to prove it to you that he does. He loved you. He gave you the best outpouring he ever could when he sent his son to die for you while you were his enemy. Right? I love to hug my daughter, but to hug my enemies, that's going to be hard for me. And it's going to be hard for them. The people that maybe I'm not on great terms with or whatever, that's going to take God to soften and change hearts and things like that, because it's just a bigger gap. But the Apostle Paul says it wasn't too big of a gap for God. And today, church, I want you to look at Christ. That's how we gain certainty about God's love. That's what the Spirit uses to make that love real. We look at Christ dying for us, not when we're at our best, but when we are at our worst. Not when we're at our most cleaned up and fixed and figured out, but when we are at our most broken. Christ died for us because he loves you. He loves you infinitely more than we could ever know or we could ever ask for. And when that becomes real in our hearts by God's Spirit, changes everything. And so I want to pray that blessing for you today. I want to pray that blessing for all those who are tuning in online. And if that's a blessing that you want, then you just pray and ask God for this too as I pray out loud. So would you bow your heads with me? And if today maybe your heart's feeling a little bit extra heavy and you just really feel a need and a longing for this blessing, just slip your hand up in the air and say, man, I could just really use that outpouring. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. For those online, if you're watching and you just kind of feel like you need that special grace of God, you need the Spirit to confirm it in your way, just slip your hand up at home where you're at, and God sees it and he knows. And Lord, I just lift my hands with these good people. Father, I pray that as we end this year, we could end it not focused on the pressure, the pain, the disappointment. Although, Lord, that's all real, and we're not trying to act like it's not. But God, instead, I pray we could end with an experience of your love today. Father, I pray in a way that only your Spirit can do, and each and every one of us, Lord, my words can't do this, but your words can, and your Spirit can. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us, we could see your love in Christ. And I pray it would be precious to us. I pray, Lord, we could see that you loved us so much that while we were your enemies, while we were at our worst, Lord, and every time we're at our worst, it doesn't change your heart towards us. Today, Father, I pray that for those of us who, man, we can't connect the dots in our life right now, I pray we would feel like we don't need to anymore because we're so convinced that our Heavenly Father loves us and wants what's best for us, and he can be trusted. Father, I pray our hearts could be overwhelmed by this outpouring of love, and I pray it would change us. We would end this year well. We would end it with intimacy with you. And I pray all this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.